We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mully and Hanley, up early to start your day with Chicago Sports Talk.
We live. We sing karaoke. We do a lot of cool things together.
Time to catch you up on this morning's show so far.
Is Bobby Portis anything more than a bench guy and a try-hard guy? Is he a part of a five-man core to win an NBA title? That's the hope for Lauri Markkanen and for Zach LaVine and for Chris Dunn, is that they can be starters on an NBA championship team someday. Isn't that what they're trying to do here?
Yes. Look, if you're talking to him about a long-term contract, now the Bulls have plenty of money, but I don't see the sense of urgency moving forward until you discern exactly what he is, and I don't think you know what he is. I know he's not a core four piece. You're not winning a championship if he's now going to be one of your starting four or five guys going forward.
Mully and Henley.
What the hell's going on in this show?
Taking you to work every morning from 5 to 9.
The final seconds, for the first time in 33 years, Loyola is going to the NCAA tournament.
Congratulations. That is a special moment, and to hear Porter say what he said in the post game.
It's a special group of how much they invested, the character off the floor with this group, the true essence of student athletes in the classroom. I feel so proud that we did it the right way.
I'm proud of the Ramblers. They did a great job. Porter, we've had him. He's been a friend of the program. We'll talk to him today. It's been a lot of fun to watch him develop this team, and this is a great run, and I'm so happy.
Well, Mully's happy.
What's up, Chicago?
Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. Yes, indeed. The Ramblers brings a tear of joy to my eye to see the Ramblers make the NCAA tournament. What a wonderful season that they've enjoyed, Brian, and they're now 28-5 after the three wins in the Missouri Valley Conference championship, and they are champions of the regular season and champions of the tournament, so that's pretty good. And now they get into the NCAAs, and maybe they're just good enough to make some noise in there. That would be a team I wouldn't want to play.
You don't have the stress of wondering if you're in. Now it's just who and where, and you go about your business. We'll talk to Porter, I imagine.
Yep.
I mean, do you get right back into it? You give the guys a couple of days to...
It's a good question.
Yeah, rest up a little bit.
I mean, do you how do you figure that out? It's uncharted territory, and do you lean on friends in the business? Do you talk it through? Michigan's in the same situation. They know they're in. I mean, listen, the whole Big Ten, there are Michigan State and Purdue, and there's a lot of teams that know they're in, right? So it's not like it's a surprise to anybody, but you got a week off now, and you got time to kind of wait. Do you want to watch the conference play around you? Do you want to just have regular workouts and take it easy? And you know, obviously health is the most important thing, and you want everybody, if you got a turned ankle or if you took a bad fall and bruised your hip, you want to be able to get time and get rehab.
Yeah, I think
better.
Clayton Custer probably want to get him off his
ankle. Richardson took
a
terrible fall in that game. He's a really important player for them, and those two guys, they won a state championship in Kansas together as a backcourt, and I think they played in the same team since they're like three or four. It's like ridiculous. He took a bad fall. I don't know. It's just you want to be at your best. And you want everybody up and running. You want to feel like you're going to be doing your best when you get into the tournament. And the great thing about Loyola is you saw them kind of pick each other up. You saw guys not have great games, and then somebody else would make a big play. It's really a really good balanced team, and I'm really happy for them. We have Clark Kellogg and Seth Davis with thoughts on it.
I'm joined by Clark Kellogg and Seth Davis. I know you guys think highly of this Loyola team.
I really do. I mean, I saw them beat Florida earlier in the season at Florida. This team passes the ball extremely well. Everybody can make shots, and they defend it at a really high level today to get this win.
They won the league by four games. They don't have a single player ranked in the top 10 of the league in scoring. A great team. is going to be a tough out in the tournament.
They've really improved defensively. They've got a balanced, highly efficient offensive attack because they space the floor, they share the ball. And folks, if you haven't seen Cameron Krutwig, a freshman big guy, plays low to the ground but has tremendous savvy in what he does in the paint as a scorer and as a passer. And
this is a team that won 27 games a season. Winning is a habit. I think they're going to end up probably maybe on the 12 line, could be an 11 seed and a very dangerous one. They got nine guys who play. Illinois State only shot four free throws today. And how about 15 assists on 22 made field goals? They share the basketball.
They really do.
They guard. The young man said, Ingram said, they buy in.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be a tough out.
I love that. Whenever it's a big guy, they play low to the ground. It's a diplomatic way of saying the guy's no hops. He's a big guy. He can
he's
fill the lane.
He's a big dude, man. He's like 6'9 and 260.
Yeah.
And he's lost 30 pounds, I think, since he started college. Seriously, he's a big body
guy. He's a space
guy.
Heater. He can fill that lane. He's just not going to hop up and grab that ball off the rim.
Well, he had nine rebounds in the game. I mean, he's not a sky boy, if that's what you're
No, I just love the way basketball phraseology. He plays
he's
low to the
ground. He's got great feet. He really does. He's got great feet. He's got like a series of moves inside. You know, does he get a shot blocked every once in a while? The guy can pass the ball.
They all do it.
Brian, I think he's the best passing big man since Bill Walton. Okay, maybe I'm exaggerating.
I'd go further back to Tom Boerwinkle.
Okay, but anyway, it's fun to see that team, and and that's something we'll talk to Porter about as well. You know, they haven't had a big man, and now they got him, and they got a kid coming in from La Lemire, who's a pretty highly ranked player and a big guy and. You know, size is important, so it's good. Our non-Loyola grads getting behind this team, that's an interesting question.
Is there a bandwagon?
We've had some people to check in on the text line that say that they're on the bandwagon. They're jumping in. I think, you know what? I mean, I was talking to a friend of mine who was saying, Catholic school from Chicago, I'm on board.
Sure.
You know, you got me. Jesuit school and Loyola, in Loyola, obviously local guys on the team. Yeah, I'll follow.
You've started learning more about the guys on this team,
course,
even the last week.
You had
coverage down in St. Louis.
Yeah,
and so you're starting to get the personalities
the
of these players.
Devoted a page to them.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Point.
Now this is the fun of it because you start putting faces to names and backstories to guys. And
it's funny because I was very amused, Brian, reading. David Hall wrote about Al Frederick Hughes.
Yeah.
The last time the Ramblers were in the tournament, Al Frederick Hughes was their star, and he ended up getting drafted and going to San Antonio and lasted a year. And, Loyola, unfortunately, has had some really big-name guys that have not done particularly well in the NCAA tournament. Have done well in the tournament but have not done well after being – drafted. One of the great draft busts ever was a guy named LaRue Martin, who I believe the year he was drafted, there were like two games he played against top five teams. I want to say one of them was your Marquette Warriors at the time, and the guy had a great game against them, and then they beat somebody else where he just had an unbelievable game, and he ended up being the number one overall pick in the draft, and he's still regarded as one of the worst number one overall picks.
Yeah, that would be
it's not the guy's
definition.
Fault.
You're right. Yeah.
He didn't draft himself, but he, did not work out. And was it Portland? It was somebody out west. And they had a scout. In those days, you didn't see a lot of games, and you'd come and watch a couple games. They saw this guy play the two best games of his life, and unfortunately, that wasn't him. It was just a kind of a snapshot of him.
I really enjoyed reading David's column because, the fact that Al Frederick's still playing hoops two, three times a week and is still in great shape. Yeah.
Yeah, it's hilarious. It's just fun to see a guy like that mentioned again. I haven't heard of what he was up to or what he was doing in a very long time. And, it's amusing to catch up with the backstory on a team. I mean, it's funny because they mentioned it quickly. Loyola, when they won the championship in 1963, that was Glory Road before Glory Road. If you go back and look at the significance of some of the stuff that went on in terms of the civil rights movement and the group they had there, and the, and there was a game that they played against the, I don't remember what the program was, but it was like kind of a similar story. And the Ramblers, obviously the only team in the state of Illinois ever to win an NCAA tournament. That was back in 1963. So, you know, there's history to the program. It's been dormant for a long time, first time in the tournament in 33 years. And we'll talk to head coach about that. We'll talk. We'll ask if he's getting a sense that people are getting on board. And the theme they're using is that
there's no finish line. Yep.
I like that term. That's good. 312-644-6767. Molly and Hanley on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Molly and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. That is Porter Mosier, the head basketball coach at Loyola. In the moment, after winning the conference tournament and sealing the trip to the NCAAs, they are dancing. And Porter, I'm delighted for you. And I'm delighted, you know, as an alum, I feel a sense of ownership, which is obviously undeserved. But I think there's a lot of people that feel that way this morning, even though we had nothing to do with your hard work. Thank you, I guess, would be what I'm saying. Porter, absolutely thank you. What a magnificent run. What a great season.
Molly, first of all, thanks for having me. But no doubt. I mean, it's so fun to see the pride of all the loyal alums, loyal students, loyal alums. It's connecting. It's just so fun because there's just so much pride. It's such an awesome university. And to see this pride, you know, and come in, it's been great. And I remember it was funny because I told so many of – because I'm a huge Chicago sports fan. And when I took this job, I told so many people, I'm like, I'm a Catholic kid from Chicago. How cool would it be to take Loyola to the NCAA tournament? And it's just it's been a great ride. And the most important thing is when you go through something like this is the people you're with. And the people at Loyola and the guys in our locker room are just first-class people. And it's just that's what's making this ride so much fun.
So it's not even been 24 hours, but take us into the locker room and you know, the moment you shared with the team after winning the tournament. And yeah, I imagine you haven't had too much sleep last night into this morning.
Well, you know, it was wild because, you know, you don't get to the locker room till like an hour and a half later because there was so much hoopla on the floor, you know, with the presentations and the media. It was just surreal looking around. Like I was surrounded, and I look over and like every one of my players are surrounded. And then we got up on the stage, and it took us a while to get to the locker room after cutting down the nets, probably a good hour and 20 minutes. And then we had to go do a press conference. But to be honest with you, the very first thing we did, we circled up and said a prayer. And it was just, we're so blessed with our group. And we did that. And then we were just so excited with each other. I mean, when you have a group this close, it was really a great moment for us in the locker room when we finally kind of had all the hoopla and it was just kind of us and quiet. But it was about an hour and a half after the game.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I mean, you know, watching the whole tournament and the Northern Northern Iowa game. That was, I mean, they're just grabbing and clutching and I'm screaming at the TV. And then, you know, Bradley came back there at the end and you guys, you really lifted each other up. You know, you see a Custer have a problem. You know, Ben going down yesterday, I was so worried for the kid. He took a terrible fall, but it's like, you know, you're getting these, you know, he hit an unbelievable shot. You know, Lucas Williamson's coming off the bench and hitting shot. It's just everybody doing something to help that team. I got to tell you, it's amazing. I mean, you got your stars, but you got everybody involved.
No question. You know, I said all along, I think I was on your show, you know, earlier in the year. I said, we're a fun team to watch. Come out and see us because, we got a lot of guys that play hard, that play the roles. And it is. It's strength in numbers. It's strength in numbers. And everybody's, when you have something successful, people buy into their roles. And, you know, it was funny because, like, the first night, Clayton Custer, I think, was 1-for-7.
Right.
And I'm in the press conference. They're like, hey, all this stuff was about, oh, what about Clayton playing so bad? And Clayton was like a little kid in the locker room. He's like, we wanted advanced. I mean, it wasn't like, I played bad, I'm going to hang my lip. And that's the way it's been all year. And, like, it was crazy. The Valley is so good. And, you know, it's like, congratulations, Loyola. You got the one season you get to play Northern Iowa, who's won the tournament the most of anybody in the last 10 years. And it was a very physical game. And then Bradley's really good. They're going to be very good. They got a lot of guys back, and Brian's done a great job there. So that was a hard-fought, tough physical game. But if you look back in, like, the last 10 games, and this is what this group has been relentless. Everybody's kind of been chasing us because we've been in first. And we had so many games that were, you know, right down to the last 5-6 minutes, and we just found a way the last 5 minutes. And it's been relentless kids that believe, and that's a powerful thing when you get a group that believes.
Now, the kids, this is uncharted territory for them, how you handle all this stuff. And you mentioned the Hoopla and the immediate aftermath of the game. And now here come, you know, all the media and in Chicago. And the great stuff is everyone's going to get to know your players, and it's well-deserved pub, and everyone's going to put names and faces together with backstories. But how do you kind of make them aware of, you know how they handle that moving forward here in the next 10 days?
Well, they're high-character kids. They're kids that have won before. And part of the things that we wanted to do when we built culture, it was, you know, when I sat down with my staff and we were putting this together, you know, in the last several years, is we want to recruit kids that have won, you know, the kids that have won before. So these kids have been on the stage. There's a great picture on Twitter by Tyrone Slaughter from Whitney Young about Lucas Williamson, about some players, and then some players win. And he's holding two trophies at Whitney Young, and then he's holding our trophy last night. It's a really cool picture. Lucas is a great example of that. You know, he's won. I mean, he's been on the stage. That kid is so tough. We kind of joke, and we said at the press conference, Ben Richardson, our senior, got Defensive Player of the Year. Probably the toughest kid I've ever coached, ever, in 30 years. He is so tough and mentally and physically, and he kind of talks about Lucas as a little protege. And these kids they've won before. I really, you know, I want them to enjoy it. I'm not moving on to the next thing going, well, we're worrying about how. I really want them to enjoy this next 48 hours. And then, you know, we have a week off until Selection Sunday. We're going to get back at it, and our mentality all year has been, we got to get better. We got to get better this week. But I want them to enjoy it. I've been there as a player. It is an amazing feeling, especially turning a program that hasn't been there. That phase of their life of making an imprint, making a lasting impression, they'll remember the rest of their life. I don't want to take that away from them. I want them to enjoy it. We'll get better this week. We'll hit practice again, and we'll go on from there.
That's great to hear, and I love the no finish line. You came up with that. I laughed when you were talking about the idea that people are asking you, you know, what's it like to be the targeted team, and you're kind of like, what? You know, we're trying to win, you know.
Exactly.
I love it.
And our guys totally bought into that. And I started that, you know, about – it was right after the first 9 games. We were heading into the second 9, the back 9 of the conference, when we were in first place, and everyone was – well, what's going to be like now? You're getting chased. I'm like, we're not being chased. We're chasing. And our guys totally bought into that. Like, hey, we're chasing. No finish line. We're the ones. You know, we haven't won anything yet. Why are people chasing us? And the guys bought into that, and it was fun.
We had Jerry Palm on earlier, Porter, and I'm sure you took a peek to see where the early projections are that you're playing and who you might play, whether it's Clemson or Gonzaga, and are you going to Boise? How, as a coaching staff, do you prepare for that, not knowing until Sunday exactly who and where?
I'll be honest with you. Last night with the Loyola fans here, and it was just, I haven't looked at it yet. I will. I'll dig into it probably here today. But I really haven't looked at it too much yet because it's so early. So many things can change this week with the tournaments going on, or the conference tournaments. So many things can change. So, but it's hard to predict. You can't just sit here and start preparing for a team. We just got to get better ourselves. We're going to work on some things. And then you'll know Sunday, and then you'll have 4 or 5 days to prepare for whatever team it is. But, you know, getting your bodies back, getting refreshed, getting your legs back, you know, doing a lot of that this week. But we'll be prepared no matter who we play.
And, you know, I think one of the cool things about this, obviously, is that, you know, you know, while some media stuff can be a distraction, I mean, you guys are everywhere. On every TV broadcast, you're the front page of the sports section in the Tribune. You got, I think you got your own beat writers. David's been doing columns. I mean, it's just fun to see the attention that the players are getting. And, you know, it really is fun to see your program. Maybe now, I mean, you're already digging in with Chicago guys. Maybe, you know, maybe this becomes, you know, a destination that more kids are looking at. Like it used to be back in the day with DePaul, with Loyola. You know, I remember those years. And I know, Porter, that you do too.
You know, for sure. And it's so cool because I've been a diehard Chicago sports fan my whole life. And it's, you know, just all of them, Bears, Bulls, Blackhawks, Cubs, and just it's just been, it's fun to see that. And I grew up in an era where DePaul and Loyola were so huge. And
yeah.
It's fun to see that. And I think the really cool thing about it is, especially in the wake of what's happening in college basketball right now, and to have a story of doing it the right way, with not cheating, with unbelievable kids that want to get a great education, that are high character kids, that's what's so rewarding. And that hopefully, you know, we can snowball this and have more kids that that want to be a part of something like this in an awesome city.
Wednesday, a good day to have the contract extension announced. When should we plan?
You can't. You got to leave it to the media. They're always going to throw one of those questions in there. I mean, you guys write it down.
That's pride.
Porter, I lived at Marquette a couple times, so you know.
Don't leave, Porter.
Yeah,
okay,
that's what we're saying.
Stay here.
Yeah.
Don't. You know, if it's one of those Power Five conferences, I know it's beyond belief, but I got to tell you, you've done an unbelievable job. We are delighted for you. We're delighted for the players. What you said in the moment there is, and you said it just a minute ago, this is the sort of thing these kids will remember for the rest of their lives. That feeling that, you know, I know it from being in high school and just getting downstate. That stays with you. It feels great. Yeah. To be on a team that wins is the greatest feeling in the world. And congratulations on the regular season, on the tournament, and again, you know, a lot of who was it, Jerry Palm and Lenardi, whatever, both have you as 12 seeds, which is the upset seed. The 12 seed wins, so keep it going. We're really having a lot of fun with it.
Thanks, guys, for having me.
All right, Porter.
God bless you. Take care, buddy. That is our guy, Porter Moser, from the Loyola Ramblers. How about Brian, you know?
Well, the question had to be asked. Because we all know.
He didn't answer it, too.
Thursday works, too.
Yeah.
I mean, if Wednesday's busy, Thursday we can do it on Thursday.
You know,
right here on the show.
I'm trying to get the recruiting class in for the next championship. And you know, here's Brian.
Brian's just trying to set up the Porter Moser show when he's on the score of coaching DePaul.
He did. He opened the show with that.
Yeah, there you go.
Here's the question, Molly. If you really believe, you want to rack up some points?
Yeah.
First round survivor.
Yeah.
Loyola.
Oh, I'm taking them.
Are you?
That's a lock. I was thinking about that last night. I am taking the Ramblers in the opening round, no matter who they play, and I'm going to pick them to make a run. You know, you want me. If you're not on board, you want me in your tournament pool. Okay, because I'm taking them. I'm taking them all over the place. Joe, it's been 30-something years since they've been in the tournament. Can't I throw away my bracket one year? I do it every year anyway.
You might be upset a little bit later when they're not available in the Sweet 16, right?
Oh, my God. Wally Zerbiak's going to join us, and we'll ask him why he didn't go to Loyola.
Miami, Ohio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Molly and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Wally Zerbiak joins us now. CBS Sports, MSG Networks, covering the Knicks. Wally, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Good morning.
You know, I got to tell you, the Big Ten tournament, we were talking about what a train wreck it was and why would they do something like that and who cares about going into Madison Square Garden if you're in Michigan and you got to drive there. Well, guess what? There are alums everywhere, and they put together record crowds, and maybe they got it right. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, they got it right as far as I'm concerned, because they had the spotlight for their for their tournament championship, and they had all the eyeballs on them. It's one thing going a week earlier and not having to compete with everyone else in the country, you know, SEC, Big 12, Pac-12, you name it. Big East, everyone's got their conference tournament next week. So to be the lone conference that has it on the spotlight and then, you know, have some big games, some big matchups in the world's most famous arena and the Mecca of basketball, I don't know. I think it went pretty well. I've heard other rumblings from the coaches and the head of the Big Ten, but I think overall there was great crowds. You know, obviously I do Knick games, so I know how special that arena is to play in as a player and to cover as a, you know, as a broadcaster and part of the media. So overall, a lot of success, and I know Michigan's very excited about how it went.
And Michigan State still looks like a 2 seed, even having not won the conference tournament. But Purdue looked like a tired team. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. Listen, Purdue has been, you know, they had that big-time win streak, and then they kind of stumbled. And, you know, they have a team that has some holes, I think. You look at Haas, what he's capable of doing, but it's tough to keep him out on the floor with certain matchups and certain athletic guys. That can kind of exploit him, especially on the defensive end of the floor. They really rely on the three-point shot. But at the same time, I'm interested to see how they do once they get out of conference. I think that team's game is going to travel. They have guys that can make threes all over the place, and that's tough to cover when you're not prepared for them. You know, when you've seen a team a couple times, you kind of know what they're trying to run, and you can slow them down, and you can kind of bog down their offense. But when they get to the NCAA tournament, they're going to be tough to stop because of the fact that they have so many shooters and can spread you out and also exploit you with the big guy.
And if they are tired, they have enough time now to get ready for the tournament.
Yeah.
I mean, the old argument's always, you know, the rust first rest, and whether you lose something when you're waiting or whether you actually, the full health thing is an advantage. I would imagine that just making sure you got a healthy, rested team would be a huge advantage.
Yeah. You know, you don't want to go into the NCAA tournament banged up, and any type of ankle sprains, bumps, bruises, stuff like that, you can kind of lick your wounds and get healthy. It is tough, though, not, you know, playing a game for 10, 11 days.
Yeah.
I think that's a big-time adjustment. You got to figure out a way to keep your team sharp because all of a sudden, in 11 days, you're going to play your biggest game of the year, so you got to be ready to go. But that's the coaches' jobs. You know, I think they're going to be able to figure out how to do that. And I think they're going to be ready to go come the NCAA tournament. But you can't overlook how much success the, Big Ten tournament had, at the Garden. I think it was a big success.
We just talked to Porter Moser and obviously the Loyola Ramblers heading to the tournament for the first time in 33 years. And he talked about trying to give his kids a couple days off, but not knowing who you're playing or exactly where you're going. You just got to get your team better. And I don't know if you just go about kind of a mini camp type thing where you just, you know, self-scout a little bit until you see Selection Sunday and you know, see who you're playing and where you're going.
Well, you got to continue to practice. I think that's definitely the key. I think if you can get a scrimmage type, workout in against another team, maybe in your league or your conference, maybe there's another team that's going to go to the NIT, and you give them a call and you're like, hey, you know, let's simulate a game and let's play. And, that's a way to kind of keep sharp, bring in some referees and, try to stay on top of it that way. There are many ways to do it. Coaches are smart. These are young kids that know what they're doing. So if you handle it correctly, you can be ready to go. And look at football teams. You know, they have their bowl games a month and a half away from their last regular season game. So they figure out a way to do it.
Seems like the tournament's kind of top-heavy. Like when, you know, all is said and done, we're going to have some really good teams at the top of the tournament, and then it's wide open. I mean, there are a lot of teams that look beatable as you go through the whole group.
Yeah, this is going to be a crazy tournament. I wouldn't say top-heavy because any of those top-heavy teams can lose on any given day, and we've seen that all season long. It's going to be wide open. Any team can really cut down the nets and make the Final Four. There are a couple teams that you can really, I think, count on. I don't know how you overlook Virginia going 17-1 in the ACC. That's a team that's fairly bulletproof. I know they've struggled in the past, but this is a different team that can not only defend, they can also score. So they're going to be the probably overall number one seed for a reason. Duke, you know, looked like when they turned that switch the other day against Carolina in the second half, that they're unbeatable. And if they want to play like that, and they want to play like that, that, you know, they'll be the favorites to win the national championship because of all that talent on that roster.
And even before Duke came back and won that game, it turned, you know, end up pulling away and you know, doing it rather easily in the second half. I wasn't even sure. I'm still not sure what to think about North Carolina at this point.
Yeah, Carolina doesn't really scare me. I just don't. I think, you know, they're a good overall team that works together. But when you look at individual matchups, you know, they give up a lot of size at a lot of positions. They just don't have overly talented players. And, you know, they've had a good overall season. I give those guys a lot of credit. They've competed. They've fought hard. They've won a lot of close games. But, you know, they're that's not a typical Carolina team that has, you know, 3-4 first-round draft picks. That team, you know, overachieved, I think, all season long. And I don't know if they're going to really be able to make a big-time run in the tournament.
There's been a lot going on in college basketball in terms of the scandal stuff, in terms of names being released and teams and all this stuff. And you know, I know that the listening to the committee chairman, there's really not a lot to take into account. It's not their time. It's not something they're considering. Is there a karmic wheel, Wally? Do you believe that that the teams that have been exposed will? I don't know. Feel such guilt and shame that they'll fail, or are we? I know it's a dream. Are we looking at potential vacated places a year or two down the line?
I would like to think that. You know, a team like Virginia that you know seems to have done it fairly cleanly all along. You'd like to think that they're going to be playing with a clear conscience, but when you end up going up against you know. Certain players and you look at them and you're like, wow, this guy's pretty big. He's pretty strong and he's pretty talented. You know, I don't think anyone really cares what went on to get him on campus. So I hesitate to believe in that. I think a lot of times in the NCAA tournament, the most talented team wins. And we've seen that a lot, you know, for the team that cuts down the nets. So I don't think it's going to have much influence. And I think the coaches and players that are kind of involved in the scandal, they just got to put their head down and do their job and then let whatever happens play out. I just think that's the attitude you got to have.
We'll let you go, Wally, but you do do studio work with the Knicks and a lot of Joakim Noah fans still here in Chicago, obviously, and it's been anything but a smooth ride with Joakim going back home. How does that end? Is that his Knicks, you know, the controversy at the end of this year during this last couple of weeks here where he was off the bench for a few minutes and back on the bench and his own suspension, his own doing it. He's got the contract, but it seems like that marriage is not one that's going to move forward.
No. And, you know, the Knicks are in a different place. They're going young, trying to rebuild. He still has 2 years on his contract, and I don't think anyone's trading for him at that number. So right now I haven't seen him with the team since the All-Star break. I know the team doesn't want him around the young guys. So I don't know where it goes in the offseason. We'll see.
Wally, thanks a ton. Great catching up with you.
You got it. Sounds
thanks,
good.
Wally.
That's Wally Cerbiak from CBS Sports and, of course, MSG Networks.
Big East going to Madison Square Garden to get their tournament going this week as well.
You know, it's fun when Porter talked about doing it the right way. You know, they're not cheating. They're not. Their name's not involved. Shouldn't that mean that they get to go far in the tournament?
I think, yeah, automatically.
Don't we have to have
just start
some
at the Sweet
of,
16. Just have them take
some,
a couple
well,
weeks
just
off.
Just some karmic type of response. Karma, I call upon you to help the Ramblers knock down their jumpers.
Okay, so you started the show by saying they need to play in Detroit, not Boise.
For me to go, that's
now,
all I
now
said.
Now we're finishing up with, let's just move him into the Sweet 16.
Well, I'm just looking at it as a objective, you know, I'll tell you what, I'm looking at it as a guilty Catholic. I personally would be too ashamed to try to win an NCAA tournament if I knew I was a cheater. That's me, and I hope everyone feels that way.
Just enjoy the ride.
Want to thank everyone for calling and texting and emailing. I will.
I didn't mean the 26 all, hours to Boise either.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank you for listening. It means a lot to us.
We'll be back bright and early tomorrow morning live at 5. Please join us.
Mully and Hanley on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.